definitely challenged just a little bit this morning by the message that God has laid on my heart. So let's jump in. Father God, we are praising you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're thanking you again. Beautiful day you've made, Lord. We're rejoicing. We're being glad in it, Lord. We are taking what you have given unto us and living it out. You have made life possible. You gave us a new life in Christ. You have instilled in us of your Spirit that we may walk in your ways, Father. You have made life a joy and a challenge at the same time, Father. We love you. We thank you. Pray that this morning, as our hearts are challenged, Lord, as our hearts are pricked, Lord, that we will step in and say that I desire to seek you more. I want to grow in understanding. I want to grow in faith. I want to build my relationship with you, Lord, and make it a hot, fervent relationship. Father, we are praising you. We exalt you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. 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 So, as based on the title, it's pretty obvious to see what we're going to talk about, right? Being obsessed with Jesus. Okay, some would say that that being obsessed maybe takes a negative connotation, that maybe we don't want to get that far, but I think there's a challenge in it. I don't know that any of us yet have reached the point where we've taken our relationship with Jesus too far. Okay, so I want to start with a little story this morning, actually give you a couple stories, some things that have happened in my life, some experiences I think will encourage you. Some of you have probably heard this part of this story at least before, but I think it's a perfect lead-in for the message that God has for you today. See, many years ago when I was a young Christian, I determined that the only way to truly grow in my faith, the only way to truly be and live out the life that God wanted for me, was to esteem Him higher than anyone and anything. To put Him on a pedestal of my life that exalted in was exalted above anything else that I could possibly think of. Okay, and as part of that, I wrote a declaration in the back of my study Bible that I then would recite day after day after day after day. Sometimes two or three times a day or more, just depends on when I thought about it. And it went on for years, okay, of quoting the same statement over and over again. Okay, I can honestly say at this point in my life, I've probably said this statement, spoken it more than 1,000 times, easily. It's just something that has gotten into me that I have made a true declaration. And it simply says this. It says, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ, and I am entirely dependent on God. I lay down my life today and take up the cross. I am truly hungry for God. And I've said that over and over again. Not really a prayer unto God as much as it is a declaration of who I am in my estimation of who I want to be with God. I want to be obsessed with Him. And then about probably 10 years ago, it was after we moved to Rollins, I believe. So about 10 years ago, I modified it just a little bit because I wanted to continue that, but I wanted to declare my need for the infilling and the work and power of the Holy Spirit to flow through my life. So it changed just a little bit to say this. It says, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ, and I am totally dependent on God. I lay down my life today and take up the cross. I am, did I read the same one? Yeah. Hang on. Let me read the other one. Thought it sounded awful familiar. It's going to sound familiar because the first line's the same. It says, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ, and I am entirely dependent on God. I receive the guidance and power of His Holy Spirit and let it flow through me today. Okay, now, whichever statement that I would speak over myself, either one of those two that I just read, either one of them, both of them, begin with the exact same phrase, and that is, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ. I want as much and as more available. I want it all. I want to know Him. I want to know what He would do and how He would act and what He would say, and I want to allow Him to have His way in my life and do those things through me. And I think that that is not just something that is good for me, okay, as a pastor of a church. I think it is something that is a valuable mindset for every Christian believer. Okay, Jesus should so dominate your life that he and his ways are the first thing to come to mind in every situation that comes up. That is our first response. They say if you want to know where you're at with God, an instant crisis situation, something that comes up at an instant that scares you or whatever, the first thing's out of your mouth is going to tell you, okay? You ever heard of an airplane that starts going down and what is spewing out of people's mouths? Some of them are on their knees crying out to Jesus. They know they're about to meet him. In other words, it's a string of profanity and, you know, cursing against God. Okay, so that it's an instant way to know that. Okay, well, being obsessed, I want to give you a definition of the word obsessed. According to this is the Baker Encyclopedia of Psychology and Counseling. Okay, it says to obsess is to preoccupy or fill the mind of someone continually, intrusively, and to a troubling extent. Okay, so I think it's interesting that an obsession in the secular world, anybody hear of obsessive compulsive, OCD kind of stuff? Okay, in the secular world, to be obsessive is often thought of as being something that is done to an unreasonable extent. You've taken it too far. Okay, you've gone over the top. It is obsessive. It is something that carries kind of a negative connotation in the secular world. Obsessing is considered to think about something, to focus on it, to dwell on something so much that it actually becomes automatic. Okay, something that people don't even really understand why they do, they just do it. It's a natural part of who they are. Okay, I'll give you another definition of that word, obsession. They say it is a persistently reoccurring thought or feeling that is not experienced as a voluntarily produced, or as something that is voluntarily produced, but rather as something that invades the consciousness. In other words, it's kind of you're subconsciously acting it out, almost obsessed with something. Now, a true obsession for Jesus Christ will not be troublesome for you or me, okay? But it may bother some of the people around us. Okay, right? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer some persecution. Okay, it bothers people. It'll rub people the wrong way. You're one of them, right? You're one of them cheesy Christian people, right? You're a little over the top. They won't call you Christian. What are they going to call you?
Bible thumper
or religious, right? That's the big coined frame. You're going to be religious, too religious for them. Okay, if you think about it, we've all probably known someone that has been obsessed with something. Okay, people get obsessed about different things. I've known people that are obsessed with money. Okay, obsessed with good food. Okay, obsessed with music or movies or Disney or superheroes or whatever. They get a little kind of too much in that particular area. Okay, these sorts of things, when people get caught up in them to a certain extent, we tend to categorize them as obsessed because they think about and they talk about these things all the time. That's some of the first thing on their mind when they come into a conversation with anybody is how can I talk about or describe and elaborate on the particular area that they're obsessed with. Their obsession starts to dictate their lifestyle. Okay, that they can't just go anywhere without that being on their mind, without thinking about it. Okay, in a sense, their obsession begins to define them because you just know the person and they're associated with something in your mind because that's all they talk about, that's all they care about. If they go someplace, that's all they're going to do or whatever. Okay, and they don't seem to recognize that other people aren't as interested in their obsession as they are. Okay, and so what happens is they start rattling on about stuff. They keep talking about their favorite movie over and over again every time you see them or whatever until you can think up kind of a good excuse to excuse yourself, right, and kind of get away from that situation. Well, in Christianity, obsession is the opposite of lukewarmness. Okay, and that lukewarmness, you know, comes from the description Jesus talked about a church in the book of Revelation that had become lukewarm. He said, I wish you're either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. He wants you to get on fire for Him. Okay, so another way of saying that we should stop being lukewarm is saying that we should become obsessed with Jesus Christ. Okay, but what does obsession with Jesus look like? Okay, does it mean that we're going to fill our homes with little trinkets we get on the Christian bookstore? Okay, I'm a member of the ChristianBook.com or whatever club, and so they send me an email every other day, I think, for new items that are out there. You know, is that part of what it looks like to be obsessed with Jesus? Does our wardrobe, is our closet, if you go open it up, is it just full of Christian t-shirts, you know, or is it just full of things like that? Our jewelry box is full of crosses, and, you know, our cars loaded with bumper stickers that say, "What would Jesus do?" I had that as a license plate at one time, WWJD on my charger. Okay. Does that what makes it so that you are obsessed with Jesus? Does that mean that you are? Okay, it might end up looking like that to a certain extent, but it's going to look a little different for each person. Okay, because we each have our own personal relationship with Jesus. Not one person in the room is exactly like another person, so it's going to have a little different twist to it. Okay, if you're obsessed with Jesus, though, you are going to be defined by your obsession. Okay, you're not going to be able to stop thinking about Him. You're not going to be able to stop talking about Him. And more importantly, you're going to consistently start finding yourself acting like Him. Okay, because He is your idol. He is what you are seeking and wanting to be like. Okay, so if you're obsessed with Jesus, you're going to end up starting to look a lot like Him. Have you ever seen like two best friends? Okay, after they've been hanging out for a while, they get pretty close. They start beginning to act the same way. They start talking the same way. If one of them says, "Way cool, man," you know, the other one begins to say, "Way cool, man." It just becomes part of a natural occurrence. Okay, they start to dress like each other. They start to act like each other. Okay, and they even will get to the point where they start to like the exact same things. Okay. "Oh, you like chocolate ice cream? I love chocolate ice cream." You know, and that's their best friend. That's what keeps them together. They've got all this stuff that is in common. Okay, so when you're obsessed with Jesus, you're going to go the places that Jesus would go. You're going to do the things that Jesus did, no matter how uncomfortable it might make you feel. Okay, you talk about getting over yourself. Okay, you talk about letting go of pride and self-centeredness. When you're just obsessed with Jesus, you can't help but want to do what Jesus did. Okay, Jesus would go aside and pray, then you do those things. You see, Jesus would reach out to the people that were, you know, not the highly esteemed rich people in town. He would go to the publicans and sinners and talk to them about God, right? So we see ourselves able to do those things because we are obsessed with Jesus. And early on in my walk with Christ, I became obsessed with God's Word. Okay, it became this thing that I knew that the answer for every problem that came up in life, I was going to find it in here. This is what I knew about Jesus. Yes, I had personal experiences. I had, you know, the whole being wowed by God, slain in the Spirit, power of God come on me kind of stuff. I had experienced all that. But my understanding was coming from His Word. That's where I could look to see if what I just went through lined up with what Jesus did and said, and Paul and all these other guys. It was going to come from His Word. And this Bible, the Word of God, is something to this very day, is something that I require of, I need, I crave some of it every day. I have to have some bit of the Word of God in me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this. It said, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." Okay, now I actually believe that. Okay? I read that early on, and I believed it. Okay, I took it to heart. I believe that if I meditate on God's Word every day, that God will make my way prosperous and successful. Okay, I believe that God loves me, cares for me. I talk about the shield of favor. I talk about His goodness is drawn into my life. You guys that have been here for a while know that. I believe that about God's Word. I believe that if I study it and I take some in and chew on it every day, that God will continue to make my way prosperous and successful. Now, if I miss a day, got something going on that day. Maybe I'm in meetings all day, back to back, and by the time I get done, it's, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready to go to bed. Okay? And if I miss a day, I know that God is not going to withdraw His love and favor from me. I know that because I've read the Word of God, and I know that it says in there, He will not leave me nor forsake me. Okay? I have enough of His Word in me that even on days like that, I can still think on it. I can still quote it. I'm still meditating on His Word. And I know that I can apply it to my life to make it through that particular day. Okay, that's like, it's like you store up God's Word in you. Okay, and you keep reminding yourself of what it is. And God will get you through those kind of days. But I am so obsessed with God's Word that I have more Bibles than I do days of week. Okay? So every day, no matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, I know that I'm going to have a Bible nearby. And obviously, in today's day and age, I have 2 Bible apps on my phone. So if one's not working right, the other one will, right? There's no reason why I shouldn't be able to get a little bit of Word. It used to be that when you're traveling, you know, you couldn't read your Bible, you weren't supposed to. And so nowadays, you just put it on, and it comes right through your speakers, and Alexander Scorby or whoever reads the Bible to you. I love to do that still. Okay, but I end that up with, I have, of course, my study Bible that elaborates on some of the things in the Scriptures. I have an Amplified Bible at home that describes kind of more what some of the Greek and Hebrew was about. Okay, I have a 1900s Bible, like early, I think it's 1903, that somebody wrote a message to their grandson or something, that somehow I ended up with that Bible. That lays next to my bed at night, so if I wake up or I want to read something before I go to bed, I've got a Bible out here in my car in between the seats. Okay, at this point, it's tattered. I mean, it's my old beat-up Bible, but it's in there. Somebody wants to know something about Jesus, I can pull it out and show them in God's Word where it is. Okay, we have a Bible in our van. There's a Bible in our pickup truck. I even have, and I found just the other day, I reminded myself, I was looking through some hunting material, a backpack and some of those things, and I have a little New Testament in Psalms, a little maroon one that is worn out. It was my dad's when he was a kid that he gave to me somewhere along the line. So even on a mountaintop, I still have my Bible with me. Of course, up there, cell phones don't work, so you need those regular hard copy ones, right? Okay, I was single for about the first 7-8 years of my Christian walk. I got saved when I was 25 and didn't date, didn't do any of that stuff. I just sought God. Okay, I wanted to be close to Him. Okay, and I ended up, for most of those years, I lived by myself. I had a roommate early on and just found out it was interfering with my relationship with God. And so I sought out to just be alone with God. And so I got apartments, I got houses where I could live alone. And I would set up my home stereo in those places with speakers in every room in the house. Okay, I can wire stuff, right? That's easy enough. Run a little speaker wire. Some places I even drilled a hole through the floor to get it down to the basement where the laundry room was. I wanted something in every room, the bathroom, the kitchen, my bedroom, the living room, every area of the house. I wanted at least one speaker, so that I could take the Word of God, and back in the early days, it was a cassette tape. Okay, I know some of you don't know what that is, but this little cassette tape, okay, and I would put that in, and I would turn it on and listen to it, and it would flood my entire house. Okay, so wherever I was, just going about my business, doing dishes, doing laundry, taking a shower, whatever it was, the Word of God was playing loud and clear. Okay, and I didn't just do it once a month. I did it every single day. Every day when I got dressed and up for the day. Every day when I was coming home and cooking supper. Every day while I slept. I even went out and I found at a secondhand store a cassette player that would continue to play continuously. So it wouldn't play to the end of the tape and click off. it would play to the end of the tape, flip to the other side, play to the other side, flip to the, and I would turn it on before I went to bed at night, and it would play all night long. Okay, getting that Word of God into me while I was sleeping. And here's the obsessive part. I wanted the Word of God in me so much that at one point I would actually sleep with not my Bible next to my bed, but my Bible like clutched in my hand, hoping I could somehow impart it into me while I was sleeping. I did not like my life. Most of you guys know my story. I came out of some pretty rough stuff. I didn't want to be that way anymore, and I knew God's Word was transforming my mind. His Word was changing me. Something was happening. And it got into me to the point that it began to transform. Okay, the butterfly started coming out of the cocoon, so to speak. And I renewed my mind with the Word of God, just like it says to do. Okay, in Ephesians 4:23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Okay, many of you know that when you come to Christ, your old man life brain is still there. And you will deal with life according to your old man ways until your mind is renewed to begin to think like God thinks. Okay? And that's where studying His Word comes in. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, he said, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." In other words, our mind is being renewed by gaining more knowledge, more understanding of God, which is found in His Word. Okay, not just a head knowledge. Okay, but when you read something spiritual, it gets into your spirit. And that's what's been saved. That's what's been born of the Spirit, is what's inside of me. Okay, now the book of Ephesians even tells us that Jesus so loved the church that it says He gave His life for it, and then I quote, "so that He might cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word," capital W. Okay, the Word of God is what washes our minds and renews them. So to be obsessed with Jesus means that you're going to be pursuing His Word, seeking it, wanting it, craving it, like a nourishment, something that will satisfy only when you take some of it in. Okay, now we want to pursue Jesus, okay, to the point that He is not just on the back burner of our life, okay, but He is front and center, okay, that He becomes this I have to have. You remember the story that there was a woman in the Bible that said she had King James calls it an issue of blood, okay, she had something that was tormenting her in her physical health for years. 12 years, I think it says. She went on seeking doctors, seeking any way that she could possibly deal with that. And then she heard about the Messiah. And she heard that Jesus, the Son of God, was on the earth and was healing people miraculously. And she obsessed that I need to get to that man. I need to find him, seek him out. So as sick as she was, okay, as hard as it might have been for her as a whatever, we don't know, but I think she was a single woman, to go through the crowds of people across the country, wherever, however far she had to, she told herself, "If I can just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed." And she would not quit. She stayed in it until she got that far, till she got right there and touched the hem of His garment. Jesus instantly knew something just happened, and He turns on her and says, "Woman, thy faith has saved thee." Okay, she was healed right then and there. Okay, to be obsessed with Jesus means that you will seek Him out. Okay, the Bible tells us about a couple of blind men that passionately sought out Jesus. Okay, kind of like the woman did. I want to read that story to you in Matthew 9:27. It says, "When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, Yea, Lord. Then touched He their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you." If you think about the amount of effort that these guys had to put in to get an audience with Jesus, it's pretty astounding. Okay, they wanted a face-to-face conversation with Jesus. Okay, they were blind. Okay, there are a lot of people that aren't even here this morning that could have driven themselves here, but imagine being blind. That would put an extra bit of effort is going to be required in it. These guys didn't just see the crowd walking across the prairie and think, oh, that must be him, let's go to him. They had to keep their ears open. Okay, they had to begin believing on the inside with a hope that said, this is where it starts. It's a hope that is inside that says, there's got to be an answer. There's got to be a solution for what is going on in my life. And they put their hope out there and believed that Jesus was that one. So they heard people start calling this man that was traveling along the Messiah. Okay, they heard that he was nearby, so they cried out. When that word, you see that word cried out in the King James, it means they cried out. Okay, they cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us! And they're screaming it out. They don't know where he's at. They can't see if he's across the street or if he's a half a mile away. They're just hearing the buzz of the people. Jesus is coming. They know that he's going to be near. So they put the effort in to start screaming out, have mercy on us, thou Son of David. Okay, being blind, they had to round up someone to lead them by the hand to where Jesus was. Okay, they had an idea maybe by the sound, but they needed someone to take them there. And then when they got to the house, you can imagine the crowd that was with Jesus. They had to push their way through the people to get in to get a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, who they knew, this is the one. This is the guy that can heal us of this blindness. Okay, that's one of the main reasons that people today do not see the miracles of Jesus. Okay, they don't see those things taking place in their life simply because they do not desire a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. They don't pursue it. They don't put it out there as, I need those kinds of encounters. Okay, pursuing Jesus like that comes with some benefits for the believer. It has a perk to it. We don't just seek him just for the sake of seeking him. Yes, he wants us to do that, and that's great, but there's going to be something that comes back into our lives when we have those moments with him. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, he prophesied saying, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Okay, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace in the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. Anybody heard that phrase before? Shalom, shalom. Okay, they would greet people with it. They would, you know, want that to be a part of services. They would say it as part of their rituals. They would say shalom, shalom, saying it twice because it put a great emphasis on the word peace. Okay, it literally means thou wilt keep him in everything shalom implies. It implies supernatural health, happiness, well-being, and peace. Shalom, shalom comes to those whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is fixed on God, whose mind is focused, obsessed on God. It means that those whose creative imagination, that's your seat of all the plans and thoughts and ideas, that part of you is locked in on God, and you will enjoy shalom and all of its implications. Everything that comes with shalom, shalom. If you remember the story in the Bible where Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water, I want to end with this passage this morning. It's a place where, I'll read it to you. Let's just read it. It's a great example of why we should keep our eyes, why we should keep our hearts, and why we keep our minds fixed on Jesus. In Matthew 14, verse 22, starts out and it says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, being tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Verse 28 says, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And then when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Okay, Peter was so infatuated with Jesus that he couldn't even wait for Jesus to walk the rest of the way to the boat. He called him Lord. He had an idea. Okay, Jesus just told him, "It's me, don't worry, it's going to be okay, don't be afraid." And yet, he wanted to go be where Jesus was. And he was willing to do what seemed impossible to get to Jesus. Okay, the scripture doesn't tell us that Peter stepped out of the boat and sunk like an idiot. Right? That's what we think. "I'm going to walk over and, you know, get some lemonade out of the cooler. And as soon as we stepped out of the boat, we'd sink," right? The Bible doesn't tell us that about Peter. It says he got down out of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. He literally walked on that water. He stayed on top of the water. I see it as staying on top of what stood between him and Jesus. He wasn't going to take no for an answer. He wanted to be where Jesus was. And only when he looked at the storm, okay, only when he took his focus off of Jesus, he began to put it on the distractions, only then did he begin to sink. Okay, but even then, we know that Peter didn't sink to the bottom of the lake. Jesus was instantly right there with him to save him. Okay, Jesus is and always will be sufficient. Okay, he will always be there. Okay, but even as Peter crossed this, we begin to see that I can see in these scriptures that this passage actually describes our entire walk with Christ in just a few verses. Okay, we are to walk by faith, okay, obsessed with our Savior. We've got to be with Him. We've got to be where He is. We believe that we can accomplish the impossible when we're focused on Jesus. Okay, we're willing to step out of the boat of our comfort zone, okay, so that we can be where He is. No matter what tries to come up or get in the way, we're going to get out and go to Him. Okay, and then if we begin to slip into the sea of the world, our Savior is going to be right there to lift us back up. He's going to be right there to keep us out of that trouble. And then when we get together, He's going to calm things down so that we can just be with Him. Okay? So don't settle for mediocrity in your relationship with Christ. Crave time with Him. Okay? Seek Him out. Crave time in His Word. It's so easy to do with these phone things we got. It's so easy to get some Word. Okay? So easy to spend time learning and growing. Okay? Let time with God's people become a necessity in your life. Okay, let these things, time with Jesus, time in His Word, time with His people, be your sustaining source, something you have to have. You know, I was reminded this week in a conversation with someone from church that we talked about a passage of scriptures where the disciples were concerned about Jesus because He had gone several days without eating. And Jesus' answer to them was, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." Okay, His food, His sustenance, His necessity, okay, His what He needed, His sustaining source was to do the will of God. Okay, I think that sort of a mindset is what is going to cause us to have a sincere craving for the Lord. We have to have Him. Okay, it's like the psalmist wrote, his passion for God in Psalm 42:1. He said, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. You know what that is for that psalmist? That is his declaration. Okay, my declaration is I am obsessed with Jesus Christ. I am totally dependent on God. Okay, I lay down my life and take up the cross today. I am truly hungry for God. This is his declaration. So my question for you is, what is your declaration? Okay, what is it that you will speak over yourself every day until you see it come to pass? Okay, something that will encourage your relationship with God every single day. Okay, my encouragement is to be willing to be obsessed with Jesus. It's a good place to be. Father, we're praising you this morning. You're the King. You're our Lord and our Savior, Lord. I pray for each one of our hearts, Lord. I pray that everyone here and everyone that hears this message, Lord, will be encouraged to lay down their life, to take up the cross, to follow after you, but to establish their own declaration, to have that moment in time with you, a face-to-face moment where you begin to speak into their life what you want to see in their life, where you desire them to go, how you would have them to be, and they begin to declare it over themselves day after day, reminding themselves of who they are in Christ, who you have made them to be, what your word says about them. Father, we trust you this morning fully, wholeheartedly, believing and trusting for you to do your work in our life. Lord, your word even says that you have began a good work in us. You will finish it. You will complete it. You will continue it on until you see it come to pass. Lord, we yield ourselves to you as humble servants, yielded to you, your way, your word, yielded to what you have best for our life, Lord. And this morning we say in Jesus' name that we desire that too, Lord. We want to be with you. We want face-to-face encounters with you. We want to know you and make you known. Father, do whatever you need to do, Lord. As we let go of our things that are holding us back, as we yield them to you, Father, have your way and lead us into that special place with you, Lord. We thank you for it. We trust you. In Jesus' name we say, amen.